The choices you have to make can be difficult and may alter your life forever. When you're under too much pressure, it's hard to go it alone. Now you don't have to. Whether you struggle with anxiety, depression, time management, family issues, relationships, self-sabotage, guilt, shame, or just need some wisdom and helpful insight, this program is the answer. Healing Conversations with Kamish Nunley. Kamish is a licensed mental health therapist with healingyourhiddenhurts.com and who also shares her knowledge as an expert author, speaker, and radio personality. You don't have to just survive. You can thrive. Here's Kamish Nunley.
Welcome to another episode of Healing Conversations with Kamish Nunley. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Beth Goodrich, and I will be hosting for Kamish. Today, we have the privilege to welcome featured guest Tracy Brower. Welcome to the show, Tracy.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
So if you would like to call in with a question or comment for our guest today, please dial 888-463-6748. We'd also like to invite you to join our Facebook group page by visiting facebook.com/groups/healingconversations. Also, if you'd like to send us an email just to let us know you're listening, please visit talkzone.com and click on Healing Conversations. Today's show is brought to you by healingyourhiddenhurts.com. Welcome to the show again, Tracy. It is such an honor to have you on the show with us today.
Thank you.
Why don't we start off by having you tell us about yourself and the work you do?
Sure. I'm the author of The Chrysalis Diaries, which is being published by Crystal Spirit, Inc. I've been writing my whole entire life, short stories, poems, songs, journals, basically anything. I've always found writing to be very therapeutic. In addition to being a writer, I am also an animal activist and work on clinical research trials with MS patients.
Oh, awesome. That is really awesome. So you talked about that you find writing to be very therapeutic for you. And, you know, working with clients, I often hear that when they write themselves, when they journal, or I have clients who are authors also, that they find that it's really therapeutic. Can you expand a little upon that, about how you find it to be therapeutic?
Sure, absolutely. Well, I myself have struggled with depression my whole entire life, and writing in journals was just kind of always a way to get my emotions out. And I really wanted to write a story about things that have helped me in my depression in my life. And one of the biggest things that has helped me get through my depression is helping other people. There's just something so satisfying about helping someone else and making them feel good that I really wanted to write a book about it. I wanted to share my story with other people.
Mm-hmm. That is so great. And I think then, like you said, so it's healing for you, but then it's also healing for other people.
Exactly.
Because then they can be inspired by what you've written.
Yes. And so far I've had amazing feedback. Book hasn't technically been released yet, but I've already gotten an email from someone telling me that my book changed their life and that they were going through basically a very dark time of their own. And just reading my book about the struggles that Sarah, the character, has done, kind of helped them. And I was just so taken back, and it's just so amazing to hear that, like, my words and my story can help someone else, like, in a whole nother level. And they basically did the same thing. They went and they helped other people as well, certain family members of theirs. And it just made her feel better.
Mm-hmm. That is
so good that I inspired that.
Yes, that is such a good feeling when you feel like then that you have made such a difference in the lives of others. And as you said, then they feel compelled often to pass it on and then help others as well. So it's the trickle down effect, which is great. So you said you've always been an author. So tell us a little bit about that. It sounds like you've done a variety of things.
Yes, I've been writing mostly, you know, small things. My first book actually finished was called Siamese. It was a self-published novel that was a murder mystery novel, so obviously completely different than The Chrysalis Diaries.
Mm-hmm.
it was a lot of fun writing it, though. I have a very vivid imagination, as most writers do, and it's always fun to kind of, play with different characters and get other things out. But I also wanted to write something more true to my heart, something closer to myself, which is why I started with the Chrysalis Diaries.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so it sounds like you've always had the bug to be a writer then, just to do something very creative.
Yeah, even now, the Chrysalis Diaries is just being released in a couple of weeks, and I'm already working on 3 other books. I just can't stop. I'm just constantly having ideas flowing through me, and I have to get them out on paper. And they're all done in my head. I just kind of have to download them on paper. That's just so fun.
That's wonderful, though, that you do that. And again, it can be healing for you, but then it's also healing for other people. So I think that's really wonderful that you're sharing your gift with so many people. So I think that's really wonderful.
I also try to help inspire other people to write, too. I've met other people through my life who have kind of been on a similar journey as myself. And they've wanted to write a book or a children's book or a comic book, and I try to always inspire them, too, to write, just to get all those emotions out and get all that creativity out. Mm-hmm. It's just such a great feeling to see a finished product and look at it and say, wow, I did that.
Mm-hmm. And I think that is. And I think, whether we're creative in, writing or music or art or just whatever the avenue, I think being creative is just so healing. And I really, really work with my clients to explore those avenues, to figure out what type of creativity works best for them. Because as you know, it is just so powerful when you really tap into that and allow that to happen.
Definitely.
Yes. It is so amazing. And so many wonderful things can come from it. So you said something about being an animal activist. Can you expand on that a little bit?
Sure. I do a lot of volunteer work for animal shelters, not as much as I would like, unfortunately, because I do have a full-time job.
Sure.
But I do volunteer at animal shelters, and I also signed hundreds of petitions a week, basically, for animal rights online. And it's really easy. Anybody can do it. You just go on, animalrescue.com, and you can sign petitions and help save animals' lives.
Mm.
Anyone can do it from their home. It's not something you don't need to go outside and, have signs and petition, but there's so much you can do just by signing these bills with Congress.
Mm-hmm. And I think what is so great by you also doing this type of work, being an animal activist, again, that's also healing for yourself. You're
Definitely.
Not just saving an animal's life, but again, when you give back, when you help someone else, help another living creature, that really does something for you.
It really does. And animals are, especially dogs, are a very big part of my book, The Chrysalis Diaries. In the book, Sarah is the main character. She's very depressed, and one of the things that helps her through is she actually adopts a dog and, really just kind of teaches her to trust again. It teaches her about loyalty, and there's also a part where we deal with dementia and how therapeutic dogs and other animals can help with dementia and other illnesses. Dogs are very therapeutic.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. And I think, when we talk about this, that people who have pets, people who have dogs or cats or whatever their pet is, what I think is so special about them is that they do love us unconditionally.
Yes.
And that is so wonderful. And again, I've worked with a lot of clients whose pets are so important for them. I worked with a man who lost his wife, and he said, my dog got me up in the morning and he made me continue on with life, even though I wanted to stay in bed and throw the covers over my head and have the world go away. He was there for me, and he knew I was going through a difficult time. They're so smart.
Yeah.
And he knew I was going through a difficult time, and he grieved with me. And he was the reason that he said, the main reason he first started getting up in the morning.
And I talk a lot about that in the book. Sarah doesn't want to get out of out of bed anymore. She quits her job. She has no reason to get out or do anything. Mm-hmm. And at least the dog is, you know, he has to be walked. So that's her way of getting forced to get out of the house every day. You know, it really does help her. Mm-hmm. Just push her and make her do things that she wouldn't normally have done. And, you know, my two rescue dogs are amazing. I mean, you know, everybody has their bad day where you have a tough day at work and you come home and you're just emotionally drained and you come home to these happy faces and wagging tails and, you know, they've waited all day for you to be home and they're so excited to see you and it's hard to be sad after that.
Yes. Absolutely. I think that is so, so true. And so in working with my clients, I've actually, especially clients who already have pets, were thinking about, you know, getting a pet, just reminding them that and that look what you do have. And when they feel like they're so alone in the world, because they're not.
Yeah.
Because as you said, even though they're having their darkest day, the pet, whatever the pet is there with them. And they're so therapeutic. And it's just amazing what they can do to really lift their spirits and make them feel needed and make them feel loved.
Yeah.
And especially when it's somebody who's going through a really difficult time or their self-esteem is really, really low, it can just make all the difference.
And it's amazing how animals can pick up on things. Like, they know when you're sad. Like, you know, if I'm crying, my dog comes to me and he'll paw at me and he'll be like, Mommy, are you okay? You know,
yeah.
It's like they know. Like, you look like you need a hug, Mom, you know? It's just amazing. They're so insightful.
Mm-hmm. It's so true. And they really, really pick up, like you said, when you are going through a difficult time. So I do encourage people, if if they are thinking of getting a pet again, to go ahead and do that. If they have the resources to do that, to go ahead and do that. Because like you said, it's so important. They do pick up on those things. And I have found that people who have been really sad, you know, once they get a pet, who loves them, who's there for them, it really can make a difference.
And there's so many animals and shelters that just, they need home and they just want to give love. They have so much love to give and they're just, you know, waiting, you know?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. And as you find too, also volunteering again to take care of whether it's pets, whether it's at a shelter of any kind, just anything like that can also do so much for ourselves. So we're helping, but we're also helping ourselves. It's
That's
a win-win.
True.
So I'll tell you what, let's go ahead and take our first break. And later in the show, we will be giving some dates and locations of Tracy's upcoming book signing events in New York. So grab a pen and paper so you'll be able to write down the information. And when we return, we'll be hearing more from Tracy on TalkZone.com.
The effects of trauma can last a lifetime. Pain, confusion, anxiety, depression, grief. Healing Your Hidden Hurts is a safe, serene environment dedicated to guiding you along your journey toward healing. The compassionate clinicians at Healing Your Hidden Hurts can provide the support, advocacy, and expertise to help you move forward again, regain stability. From fear to faith, despair to hope. Visit HealingYourHiddenHurts.com. Speak to a clinician today. Don't go at it alone. HealingYourHiddenHurts.com.
The Chrysalis Diaries by Tracy Marie Brower. Sarah wondered how long he had been living there, on the street, in such harsh, unforgiving, humbling conditions. She watched as more people passed him by, some with disgust and others unresponsive. The homeless man had become part of the city block. A week prior, Sarah might have just passed him by herself, but that was not the case now. Instead, she felt the urge to help him. She thought to herself, do something, anything. We can all use a little help sometimes. I know I need some. Acting upon impulse, without hesitation, Sarah removed her coat and handed it to the man. Purchase your copy at crystalspiritinc.com.
Now, back to Healing Conversations with Kamish Nunley on TalkZone.com.
Welcome back to Healing Conversations with Kamish Nunley. I'm your guest host, Beth Goodrich. And if you're just joining us, we are talking with author Tracy Brower. If you have a question for comment for Tracy today, give us a call at 888-463-6748. Tracy, thanks for sharing about yourself.
Sure.
And Would you please tell us a little bit more about the inspiration behind your upcoming book, Chrysalis Diaries?
Absolutely. I try every day, I have this little project of my own, I try to help someone else. And in the book, Chrysalis Diaries, the character Sarah does help people, but on a grander scale. But I unfortunately am not a Manhattan socialite and don't have lots of funds and all of my time to donate. So I try to do small things. So every day I make it a point to try to do something to help somebody. I have several examples if you would like to hear about them.
Absolutely.
Okay. So some of them are more silly than others, but I was actually at a MS gala a few months ago. And I was sitting there eating my delicious meal with everyone that I work with. And I looked up and I saw this older woman who was holding a plate of food. And she looked very confused and she was kind of walking around in circles like she didn't really know where she was going. And I could see her getting very frustrated. And I kept staring at this woman and I just had this urge, you know, to help her. Because I'm like, you know, she looks like she needs something. I don't know what, but she looks like she needs help. So I got up off my chair and I went over to the woman and I said, you know, are you okay? Do you need help? And she said, yeah, I can't find my table. I can't find my family. Because it was one of those like buffet style things where you get the food and then you go back to your table. And this place was like huge. So I said, well, okay, well, let's try to find your table. Do you remember what table you're sitting at? And she said table 85 or whatever the number was. And I said, well, I don't know where that is, but let's find it together. So I grabbed the older woman's hand, and we kind of walked around, and I said, okay, well, that's table 60. We're getting closer. There's table 70, and eventually I led her back to the table. And her family was really grateful, and they're like, oh, Mom, we were wondering where you were. Thanks for bringing her back here. And I said, oh, no problem. And, you know, I went back to my table and continued with my meal, and that took me all of 5 minutes. You know, it was like, took hardly any time of mine, but I helped this woman who was frustrated. And that's the whole point I want to get across with the book, is it doesn't have to be some monumental life-changing thing. It can be something just small. You know, everybody has those moments of frustration. And, you know, she was an older woman, and her eyesight probably wasn't as well. She looked like maybe she had a little bit of dementia, and she just looked like she needed some help.
Right.
So I always try to, like, look for those things and help. And then there's more silly things I do. Like I was on the line at Starbucks the other day, which I often am. there was a group of women. I work in a hospital and a bunch of doctors, and they were together. And this one lady had a coupon, buy one latte, get one free. And she said to her friends, oh, is anybody getting a latte so I can get a free latte? And they're like, no, we're getting regular coffee, sorry. So I was like, okay. So I said, well, listen, I don't know you, but I'm getting a latte. If you want to just tell me what you're getting, I can just order mine and get yours for free. And she was like, really? You would do that? And I was like, well, yeah, I'm not losing any money. It doesn't do anything to me. I was like, it only takes 30 seconds. So I was like, I'll just get it for you. So I did that, and this lady was so thankful, and she was so nice, and we ended up having this whole long conversation, and she was a social worker in the emergency room, and you know, she helps other people as well in a different capacity, of course. And you know, I kind of made a friend through this too, so it was kind of like a win-win for everybody. So yeah, I try to do things like that.
Mm-hmm. So it sounds like that's kind of the inspiration then behind the book.
Absolutely.
Okay. And you know, I think that one of the points that you're making, which is such a good point, is that we feel so much better when we help other people.
Absolutely. And, you know, it doesn't have to be something big. I mean, you can do, you know, volunteer work and you can really get involved. And like my job, you know, I have a full-time job, but it also is helping MS patients. Mm-hmm. But it can be something small, too, and something anybody can do just if they took a couple minutes out of their day.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think it's also a very good point that you made, that it doesn't take money, because I think a lot of people feel like, what can I do to help someone else? I don't have a big bank account. And I actually read your book and it's wonderful. I absolutely loved it.
Thank you.
And so it was very inspiring to me too. So I really encourage, you know, people out there to get a copy. And, but what was so great is, like you said, we don't have the financial means that Sarah in the book had, but we can still do very simple things. We can do things that in the book, you know, such as helping somebody, like they also said in the commercial, giving a coat to a homeless person. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, she did that, and it's something maybe you can't go beyond that, but most people have an extra coat, and most people can say, hey, again, I see somebody who's looking around that can't find their table. I'm going to help them. Or, you know what? I see this mother who is struggling with her children and she probably wants to get through the line quickly. I'm not in a hurry. I'm going to let her go in front of me. Exactly. I think it's things like that when you stop and you think, what can I do to help? And it doesn't have to be that I am, you know, starting a shelter because I don't have the funds to do that. It doesn't mean that you have to do that. So I think sometimes people just think, wow, I don't have the means, so therefore I can't help. But as we're sharing, people can. And we all have gifts and talents. And even if it's as simple as you said, helping someone to their table, mm-hmm. what a difference that made to that woman. Guess what? You made your day, but you made her day and you made her family's day. Mm-hmm. And then hopefully again, what will happen again, it's that trickle down effect where then they will be more apt to, okay, this is what it meant to me. So I'm going to also do that for someone else as well.
Exactly.
So I think it's just kind of changing the world a little step at a time.
Exactly. And just so much one person can do, a small thing. And it's also about even connecting people with the right people. Like, say if you happen to know an elderly couple, this actually happened to me, who wanted to sell their house and, you know, they didn't really weren't looking for a lot of money, but they couldn't afford the oil in the house, so they wanted to move somewhere smaller. And then I knew a coworker who, her and her husband just got married and they were looking to buy a house in the same area, but they really don't have a lot of money to spend. You know, their first home, they're kind of looking for a fixer-upper. And, you know, I was luckily able to get those two people to connect and the couple actually ended up purchasing the house. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it could just be like you overhearing conversations. It's like, oh, I know somebody who needs that. Oh, I know somebody who's looking for that, and just kind of connect people.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. And, you know, on a grander scale, it absolutely, as you kind of alluded to before, it helps with depression. It helps us feel better about ourselves. This all helps with self-esteem. When we do these small things, it helps us. It helps us so much. So again, it's a win-win.
Definitely. It's a win for everyone.
It absolutely is. So I think I encourage our audience to really focus on, you know, what you can do rather than what you can't do. And hey, again, you may not have a big bank account, but you can bring two people together. Like you said, you can make connections, or you can do those small gestures. And they might seem like small gestures to you, but to that person that you've just helped, it might have changed their whole day. It might have changed their week. And that's something that they're not going to forget. And I think that's really important to remember. I remember one time I was at a bookstore and I was looking for a CD and I wanted this particular CD. And so of course I'm like, oh, they don't have it. It's out. And this person was standing next to me and he overheard my conversation with my sister. And I said, wow, I really wanted that CD. And so he was actually going to purchase it. And what he ended up doing was, he ended up purchasing it without telling me. You know, he went ahead and purchased it. I'd kind of seen him standing beside me, and he seemed to be interested in our conversation, but I didn't, you know, pay much attention. So he purchased it, came over to me, and gave it to me.
Oh, that's so nice.
And this was probably 15 years ago. I still remember it.
Exactly, because you remember things like that. You remember when someone goes out of their way to do something for you.
Right. And it seems so simple. And it's like you said, when you said, hey, I'll buy the latte and you can have a free latte, she will remember that. And I think that's what's really important for people to remember, is that when we do those gestures, even though they seem really small, people will remember those things. And so you've helped another person to feel better, but you've also helped yourself to feel better. So I think that's really important. So the character Sarah, how do you feel like you resemble her, if any way?
Sarah's basically me. She's, you know, fabricated a little bit, of course. Like I said, I'm not a Manhattan socialite, but this book is very close to my heart, and, you know, I am Sarah. And, you know, like I said, I try to do things every day. I call them Sarah moments, when I'm always trying to do little things to help people every day. But it's like me. I mean, it starts out like me, a bad breakup that I had went through. I think any woman can relate to that, or anybody can relate to having their heart broken, and being sad and, you know, trying to learn to love again and to trust again. You know, everybody's been in the situation where they wanted to make friends, you know, and, you know, it's all me. She's all me. But like I said, on a grander scale, but, you know, I believe in everything that I wrote about Sarah. The two dogs in the book, Buddy is my dog, Mickey. The other dog, Princess, is my other rescue dog. So, you know, I wrote about things that were in my life. The happy ending where, I guess I shouldn't give it away. but I've had a happy ending in my life recently. I've recently gotten married. So I want to incorporate that in my book as well.
Sure. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. So I don't want to give too much away, but, right. You know, it's kind of, you know, been my transition through life and how I've changed and evolved and, you know, just made slow, small changes in my life. And I've been very fortunate to have people in my life who have supported my writing and who agree with what I'm doing, and they want to give back as well. I've been very fortunate to have an amazing publishing company who read my book, and they saw the potential in it and said, wow, this could be good, you know, and they were willing to work with me. And it's my first published novel, so, you know, I didn't know what I was doing. so they've been so helpful with, like, editing and modifications and, you know, everything they did, I feel like they just got the story. Like, they weren't changing anything that was the heart of the story. Like, they left everything the same, and they just made it better. And I just think the message just gets across even better now. And like I said, to hear somebody say that I changed their life, I mean, that's, like, the most amazing thing I could ever feel. Like, not only just to sell books, but to help other people and have them help other people, it's just amazing. And, you know, I can't wait for the book to come out, and I hope I get a lot more positive feedback about that.
I'm sure you will. I'm absolutely sure you will. I'm convinced of that. So let's take another quick break, and when we return, we will hear more from Tracy, and I'll also provide the dates and locations of her upcoming book signing events. So stay tuned, please.
You're listening to Healing Conversations with Kamish Nunley on TalkZone.com.
Welcome back to Healing Conversations with Kamish Nunley. Tracy has definitely shared some great information for our audience today. If you'd like to purchase her first novel, Siamese, it's available on Lulu.com and Amazon.com. As I said early in the show, Tracy has some upcoming book signing events in New York, and here are the dates and locations. Wednesday, October 22nd at 1 p.m., she will be at Stony Brook University Bookstore, and that's at 242 Frank Melville Library in Stony Brook, New York. She will also be at KB's Burger Shack at 6 p.m., also on October 22nd. That's located at 411 West Main Street. And I'm not even going to try to pronounce the city name, so I'm going to spell it. It's it's P-A-T-C-H-O-G-U-E. How do you pronounce that, Tracy?
Patchogue.
Okay. I lived in New England for a few years, and they pronounce things a lot differently than we did in the Midwest. So I've learned that if it's not from the Midwest, I'm not going to try to pronounce it.
Yeah, I live on Long Island, so we have a lot of Indian names for you know, all of our towns. So they're all a little hard to pronounce if you don't live here.
Sure, exactly. So I'm just going to spell that one. And the last one, she will be at Smithtown Library on November 13th at 7 p.m. That's located at 148 Smithtown Boulevard, Wisconsin. Did I pronounce that right?
Perfect.
Oh, great. New York. So I really encourage you, if you're living in New York, if you're going to be in New York during that time, to please stop by, introduce yourself to Tracy, meet her, get a copy of her book, and have her sign it. I know that you'll be very, very inspired by her book, because I know I sure was.
I also want to try to branch out to other areas, too. You know, the book's just coming out, so I've been doing a lot of local book signings. But, you know, if there's anyone listening, if you would like me to do a book signing in your area, I'm definitely willing to travel. I, you know, travel a lot for work anyway. So you can like my Facebook page, author Tracy Marie Brower, and send me a message. And, you know, we'll talk about doing a book signing in your area.
Perfect. And so I assume then they can also obviously visit your Facebook page for other book signing events coming up.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, perfect. Now, do you have any other things planned, like any seminars or anything like that planned in the future?
Not yet. Right now I'm just doing a lot of book signing and book reads, just to kind of get my feet wet. But I do eventually maybe want to do some seminars, just to talk about the whole entire topic of, you know, kind of paying it forward and helping other people. But right now that's all I have set up. But, you know, once the book comes out, hopefully, you know, there'll be a lot of other interviews and other book signings.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I hope there will be, and I'm sure there will be. So you mentioned before a little bit about your future plans, that you have some other books that you would like to write. Can you share just a little bit more about that with us, please?
Sure, absolutely. I said I'm working on three books. Now, two of the books are actually, I guess one is a sequel to Siamese and one is a prequel to Siamese. I really just feel like there's a lot more of the story to tell, so I wanted to write some more about that. Different characters, but along the same kind of murder mystery premise. Mm-hmm. And the other book that I'm working on, it's more like The Chrysalis Diaries. It's very, it starts out with a woman who's had her heart broken, and she meets some people that who change her life, and she ends up going on a vacation that kind of makes her see life a lot differently.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the projects I'm working on now.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that sounds exciting. So what, do you have any stories that you would like to share where you have mentioned before about people being inspired by your book? I know it hasn't really officially been released, but it sounds like you've gotten still some very good feedback. Do you have any stories to share concerning that?
Well, the one person I did talk about, I really don't want to go into too much detail because it's, you know, personal to her.
Mm-hmm.
But she did write, you know, specific details about what she was going through, and
mm-hmm.
You know, I really don't want to give that out just yet.
Okay.
Because it's kind of personal. And, you know, a lot of people who do struggle with depression and who kind of relate to my book, their stories are really personal. And I get that because I know my stuff is very personal.
Mm-hmm.
So I just don't want to share too much on that and put anyone mm-hmm. on the spotlight.
Okay. Well, and what I was kind of meaning was more very general. Like if they're going through a personal issue, like how this has really helped them.
Sure. Well, this person actually is going through a divorce, and she just feels very isolated because of it. Like she feels, I think, like maybe a failure, and that, you know, maybe she's disappointed her family, and she just kind of like Sarah in the book, kind of held to herself and just kind of clammed up and kind of stayed in her own little world. And, you know, it's scary and dark to be in that darkness, you know, and it's hard to let other people in when you're going through a depressing time in your life. And, you know, she did say the book changed her life because it helped her get out of that shell. You know, it helped kind of peel back the layers and help her, you know, think of other things instead of just concentrating on this depression. It helped her concentrate on other things. And that's a lot of stuff that happens in The Chrysalis Diaries mm-hmm. because Sarah kind of uses helping other people as a distraction in her life because she's so much a mess and she just mm-hmm. can't concentrate on her own issues. So she starts focusing on other people's issues and starts helping them. And in return, it just makes her feel better until she can kind of learn to deal with her own issues that she's going through.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think what you said is so true, and kind of what we talked about earlier with paying it forward, with different things, volunteering, things like that, that I think, unfortunately, what happens, of course, when people are really depressed is that they're focusing on themselves so much that they miss a lot of really great opportunities, like helping others and doing things for others. And so if they can just look for those opportunities, you know, as kind of we talked about earlier, some of those examples, then they really will feel so much better about themselves. And I think that was what I really appreciated about your book, is that really kind of tells a little bit about that. And, you know, what we can do, some of the tools that we actually can do to make ourselves feel better when we go through really, really difficult times in our life.
And I really, you know, I request anybody who's listening just to try it, you know, just to see how it feels, because it really, it sounds silly, but it really just gives you this amazing satisfaction to help somebody. You know, like I said, do something small, go out, just make somebody smile or laugh. Like, laughter is contagious, you know?
No, true.
Do something for somebody and just see how it makes you feel. And I think you'll be pleasantly surprised that it is this amazing feeling, and maybe you didn't know that it could do that to you.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's very good advice, because that's really, really true. I don't think that people really who haven't done much of that really understand the magnitude of it and just the power that that does have over us, and how much better that really does have us feel, you know, that just changes our lives so much, and it changes our attitude and everything. So it really is amazing to have that happen.
I remember the first time, actually, when I was a kid, the first time I actually helped somebody, there was an elderly woman with groceries crossing a street, and she had a cane, and she looked like she was struggling. So I just, you know, wanted to help her just cross the street and, you know, get her to her house with her groceries. And, you know, I just felt amazing. It was just like this good feeling. And that was the first thing I had done as a kid. And I was like, I want to do more. I want to help more people. I like this feeling. You know, I don't feel sad today. I don't feel in a dark place. Right now I feel in a positive place. And it just made me and encouraged me to do more of those types of things.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's so, so true. And it's, once you said, it's kind of like what you said, it's contagious. Mm-hmm. And then you feel like, wow, this feels so good. And I really am making a difference. So I do want to do more. And I think people will find that they will do that. If they just kind of start small, they'll think, wow, what else can I do?
Exactly.
And I think that's what's so great, is that sometimes we can even get bigger ideas or whatever. And again, it doesn't take money. It doesn't take resources of that magnitude to be able to make a difference. So I hope that our listeners really hear that they can make a difference. Anyone can make a difference. We all have that ability to make a difference.
And you can even make money too by helping other people. I mean, I do. I mean, my full-time job, I work on clinical research trials for patients with MS. And, you know, we're working on a lot of different drugs to help patients with secondary progressive MS. Mm-hmm. There's no drugs on the market for them that are FDA approved yet. And nothing's been proven effective. So we're actually trying to find drugs to help them. And I love that that's my full-time job, that I get to go to work every day and, you know, help these people. And all of my patients in the clinical trials are all so grateful that we're paying attention to this type of MS that they don't have medication for.
That would be very, very rewarding. Wow, that really would be. Because you're right, every day you're making a difference.
Yeah, and it is a stressful job, and I run around from hospital to hospital sometimes. It's not always glorious and wonderful. But, you know, at the end of the day, I mean, even just being kind to these patients who have MS, you know, I mean, they have enough that they're going through, even just to give them a little extra niceness. You know, they need it. They deserve it. And it makes me feel better.
Absolutely. Again, it's a win-win.
Yeah.
Well, it's time for our last break, but stay with us as we hear more from author Tracy Brower.
The effects of trauma can last a lifetime. Pain, confusion, anxiety, depression, grief. Healing Your Hidden Hurts is a safe, serene environment dedicated to guiding you along your journey toward healing. The compassionate clinicians at Healing Your Hidden Hurts can provide the support, advocacy, and expertise to help you move forward again, regain stability. From fear to faith, despair to hope. Visit HealingYourHiddenHurts.com. Speak to a clinician today. Don't go at it alone. HealingYourHiddenHurts.com.
The Chrysalis Diaries by Tracy Marie Brower. Sarah wondered how long he had been living there, on the street, in such harsh, unforgiving, humbling conditions. She watched as more people passed him by, some with disgust and others unresponsive. The homeless man had become part of the city block. A week prior, Sarah might have just passed him by herself, but that was not the case now. Instead, she felt the urge to help him. She thought to herself, do something, anything. We can all use a little help sometimes. I know I need some. Acting upon impulse, without hesitation, Sarah removed her coat and handed it to the man. Purchase your copy at crystalspiritinc.com.
Healing Conversations with Kamish Nunley continues on TalkZone.com.
Welcome back to Healing Conversations with Kamish Nunley. This has been very informative, speaking with author Tracy Brower today. I've really enjoyed speaking with you today, Tracy. Sadly, we've reached the last segment of our show, but I'm really interested, Tracy, in what advice you have for our audience members who feel compelled to write a book of their own.
I think, like I said earlier, it's very therapeutic to write. I mean, even just freestyle writing, it doesn't have to be necessarily your story. It could just be, you know, a diary or a journal, just getting your thoughts and emotions out on paper, or if you don't have someone to talk to about your problems. I find I can solve a lot of problems with writing, making pros and cons list or rehearsing a conversation that I have to have with someone. I'm not sure what I'm going to say. I'll write it down. Preparing for this interview and writing everything down just in case. It's always just very helpful, and it just, you know, helps you be prepared, and, you know, it just helps get all those emotions out so they're not bottled up inside of you.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's really true. And I think, you know, there's so many different techniques you can do with writing your feelings down, just information down. Like you said, it makes it easy to organize. It makes it easier to help us make important decisions, you know, things like that. And I think it can be very, very beneficial on so many levels. And so let me ask you, did you ever feel discouraged when you were writing the Chrysalis Diaries or when you're writing Siamese? Did you feel discouraged?
I did. You know, writing, especially writing a book, is very, it's hard to kind of open it up and let other people see your writing. You're very vulnerable. And that was always very scary for me, like writing something on a page and thinking, oh, I like this. So I hope everybody else likes it. I hope they think it's good. You know, it's, you know, you're basically leaving your heart and soul on the pages of, you know, when you're writing. And it is hard to let other people read it and critique it. And you have to learn to take positive criticism and negative criticism and kind of let it roll off your back and just try to make the story better. And it's not always easy. It takes some practice.
That wouldn't be easy. I think that's a very, very good point. It wouldn't be at all. And what helped you through those times when you were feeling especially vulnerable?
Well, I get a lot of support from my family. My sister Margaret has been amazing because I can, you know, write some things down. And even though we don't live near each other, I'll email it to her. And she'll just kind of read it and give me her thoughts. Or, oh, Tracy, this is good, but I think it would be better if you moved this paragraph here or did this. And, you know, also my husband helps me too. Like if I'm working on a chapter and I know what I want to say, I just can't say the words.
Mm-hmm.
That's my my biggest challenge, is getting it from my brain to paper. And, you know, he'll just give me some suggestion and let me bounce some ideas off of him. So, I'm really lucky that I have a support system, people that I trust, that I can just write down anything and feel like I won't be judged. Mm-hmm. That's kind of nice. So when I do write the, you know, they help me write the bigger things that I can share with everyone else. Mm-hmm. And another thing is I've struggled with dyslexia my whole entire life. Writing has always helped me with that. I've always read a lot more and written down a lot more kind of to train my brain. You know, I read legal documents for a living and just helped a lot.
Wow. That's really awesome. And thank you for sharing that, because I think that can be inspiring to our listeners. Again, you weren't focusing on, okay, I'm dyslexic. You're focusing on, but what can I do?
Exactly.
You accepted it, but now what can I do with this? What can I do to improve this? I don't want this to impact my dreams in any way. So I think that that's really great that you were able to do that and work through that and find ways that you were able still to accomplish your dreams.
Yeah, it wasn't easy, but, you know, it really did help to write a lot. Mm-hmm. And the more I read and the more I wrote, it just kind of trained my brain not to be dyslexic.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's really amazing. I didn't know I don't know a lot, to be honest with you, about dyslexia. So that's really interesting to hear that. And I think that also, again, can be very encouraging to our audience members as well, you know, to not let that stop them.
Exactly. Anybody can be a writer. Like, I didn't major in journalism, you know, and I wrote a book.
Right.
You know? I mean, if you have a story to tell, you know, then people will listen.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And it sounds like, too, with what you were saying from your family, that you've had a very, very good support system, that they were very non-judgmental and they gave you very positive criticism.
Definitely. And that helped so much.
Oh my gosh.
Is nice to just bounce some ideas off of someone else when you're like, am I going in the right direction here, or do I need to go in a whole other direction? You know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think what's important to remember, too, is when you talked a little bit about, you know, your fear of being judged and being vulnerable. And I think that that is a fear of so many people. What a common fear that is. And I think you're a very wonderful example of where you did not let that fear, again, impact your dreams.
Yeah. Just got to keep pushing and plugging along and, you know, eventually you get used to it and it's not so scary.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think for our audience, again, what I try to do with my clients is, again, so many people, they won't try new things or try different things or follow their dreams because they're afraid. And, you know, fear is just so, unfortunately, it's so powerful. But with stories like yourself, people can learn that, but look at the cost. If I let this fear rule my life, look at the cost.
And I think personally myself, I've always been afraid of success. That's why I think I write so many different stories at a time. And I was actually going to a therapist years ago. And, you know, we were talking about my writing and she had made a suggestion. And she said, Tracy, just finish one story. Like, instead of working on so many different things at a time, just finish one. Mm-hmm. So you have that sense of accomplishment. And that was my first book, Siamese. That was the first thing I ever finished in its entirety.
Wow. That's awesome. And what great advice.
Yeah, and now I finished my second book, and I can't wait to finish another. Like, now I know I can do it. I can finish from start to finish instead of, you know, skipping around and being afraid to complete my work.
Right, exactly. Well, we have a few minutes left, and what final message would you like to leave with our audience?
Just again, not to repeat myself, but just, you know, go out and try to make somebody else's day. You know, try to make someone else smile, try to make someone else laugh, and you'll feel amazing. And just don't concentrate so much on your depression and kind of have that snowball effect where you're thinking, oh, all of these things happen to me, and then you kind of end up in this dark place, you know? Instead of that, just think of, what can I do for someone else? Mm-hmm. And then maybe someone would help you and do the same for you.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's a really good message to end with. And I think that that will inspire a lot of our audience members and really encourage them to know that they can make a difference. They can be that individual. And we all have abilities. We all have gifts. And we're all very important. And we're all needed, and you can make someone's day, and you can make someone's year. You can make someone's life by doing something, like you've said before. Sometimes it's the things that we see as being very silly really aren't. They're not silly at all. They've really just changed that person's day, week, month, year, whatever. And so what may seem silly to you won't be silly to someone else.
Exactly. Just treat people how you would want to be treated.
Absolutely. And I think that's a really, really great way to end our show. And it has truly been great hosting you today, Tracy.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been an honor.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much. And I really encourage people to, when the book is released, and when is the release date?
It should be released in September, most likely the end of September. We don't have an actual date yet, but pretty soon. We're just finishing it up.
Okay, great. So I really encourage people to get a copy of Chrysalis Diaries. It is wonderful, a very inspiring book. So I really encourage people to do that. And I hope, Tracy, you'll consider being a guest again.
I would love to be. This has been great. Thank you.
Great. Well, thank you. And thanks to all of our listeners. And also, please check out Tracy's book, Siamese. And remember that you can get Siamese on Lulu.com or Amazon.com. So you've been listening to Healing Conversations with Kamish Nunley, where we believe what makes you vulnerable can also make you beautiful. Till next time, please take care.